Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Most of the time, there's not an effort to engage in your argument in any good faith. People will just paint you as a homophobe. So it really has just kind of narrowed and shriveled the bounds of discourse.
My grandmother used to say, don't be so open-minded that your brains fall out. There are some scholars who would really like something to be true, who unfortunately become too open-minded, too uncritical.
If I'm looking inside myself for strength, it will fail. But that's not actually where my strength comes from, that Christ is greater than my heart.
This is Mark from Michigan, and I am a lawnmower listener. We love Issues, etc.
I think the thing that might have surprised me the most was Iowa. That's what surprised me the most when I was reading about an Iowa Civil Rights Commission that apparently is calling for pro-transgender regulations in that state that might, or it sounds like would, apply not only to churches, but to the things that churches do unique unto themselves, even preaching and worship services. Is this true? A civil rights commission sounds like a pretty good idea, especially when we're all concerned about all of our civil rights. But when it starts to say to Christians that they don't have a right to speak their minds or even the teachings of their church, even within the doors of their own church, or that they have to make accommodations that would be contrary to those teachings, well, then we're not talking about civil rights at all anymore. We're talking about taking them away, not protecting them. We're going to be talking about pro-transgender regulations that were issued by the Iowa Civil Rights Commission. Joy Pullman of the Heartland Institute will be our guest. Greetings and welcome to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Friday afternoon, the 8th of July. We've got a busy day ahead here on Issues, Etc. In just a few minutes, we'll be joined by D.C. McAllister, a journalist in Charlotte, North Carolina. We're going to talk to her about a new study on the children of same-sex parents. There are lots of studies out there that say children fare just as well under same-sex parents as under a father and a mother. But the latest study, conducted over about 10 years, says not so fast. In fact, more than 10 years, says not so fast. It's not as good as it's been made out to be. A little bit later, Holly Shear will join us. We'll talk about that new policy allowing transgenders to openly serve and to be accommodated in the U.S. military. Kelly Schumacher will join us after that. We'll talk about classical versus contemporary art in the church, do a little arts talk. And then Pastor Chris Roseborough joins us. We'll do This Week in Pop American Christianity, talking about the charismatic movement uniting with Roman Catholicism. Three of the biggest names in charismatic evangelicalism, all three of them self-proclaimed prophets, were invited to meet with Pope Francis and had a very interesting conversation. We'll get the prophet side of that conversation with Pastor Chris Roseborough this week in Pop American Christianity. Joy Pullman is a research fellow at the Heartland Institute, author of the forthcoming book, The Education Invasion, How Common Core Fights Parents for Control of American Kids. She's managing editor of The Federalist and author of a recent column titled Iowa's Bureaucrats Force Trans Bathrooms on Churches, Forbid Non-PC Preaching. Joy, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thanks for having me. I love your show.
Can you tell us what this story is about? It is a bit confusing, this Iowa Civil Rights Commission story.
Sure. It is a little bit confusing because these are new guidelines that are based on old laws. A 2007 law and a 1965 civil rights law have been reinterpreted by the Iowa Civil Rights Commission. In new guidelines, they set that basically, I mean, and I'm going to quote a little bit here, and if churches, if business establishments, if publicly funded organizations make people feel, quote, unwelcome, either directly or indirectly, about their sexual identity, they could be liable to be brought up in an extrajudicial tribunal, fined, required to get lawyers, and to pay legal fees, and so on and so forth.
Now, is this just a big misunderstanding? I read something last night saying, well, you know, this term church services, we didn't mean on the issue of whether churches can continue to teach and preach their doctrines about human sexuality. We didn't mean church services. We meant services offered by the church.
Well, I mean, the part of the problem is the fact that the language is ambiguous, but church services could apply to a lot of things, and that's one of the bases for the complaints here. But even so, you know, the First Amendment, as well as similar First Amendment-like provisions in many state constitutions, secures Americans' right to exercise their religion in public. So we are not supposed to have to retreat only to our worship services to express our faith, to say what Christianity has taught for 2,000 years about human sexuality, in order to avoid being harassed by the government.
As written and as currently apparently understood, what would churches have to do in order to comply with the Iowa Civil Rights Commission regulations?
One of the things we haven't talked about yet here is that the directive also requires churches and kind of church-related organizations, as well as police stations, libraries, public schools, all to de-sex their public locker room, showers, and bathroom facilities. So this basically means that no matter what the physical biology, you know, the DNA or the genetic, as well as the physical appearance of a person, whatever body parts they have, they can decide to go into facilities where people with different bodies are getting naked and being exposed and vulnerable.
So that would be the bathroom issue is one of the other one things that would be required by way of compliance.
That's right. So there's a number of things that they put into their new regulations. One is this bathroom issue. One is the speech controls that we talked about a little bit, as well as other speech controls that relate not just to churches, but to private businesses, you know, the people who are serving sandwiches, to daycares, you know, to healthcare workers, to police departments, and so on and so forth.
Preschools. Lots of churches run preschools. Would that be applied here,
too? That's right. Well, the regulation specifically included daycares, and again, since they're ambiguous, it's hard to tell, but when they say church services or, you know, things that churches run, it could imply a lot of things. So in my article, I talk about things it could imply, such as K-12 schools, such as preschools, like you just said. And churches do many other human needs things, such as, you know, caring for the poor, for the elderly. So the language seems to be encompassing all of those sorts of things that churches do out of their love for their neighbor.
A couple of questions here on the legal front. Were these laws, the original SOGI laws, were they in any way intended to be applied this way?
Well, I don't know. It depends on the law, but typically, you know, right, so the 2007 law that these guidelines are kind of reinterpreting or extending is one of those SOGI, sexual orientation and gender identity laws that are popping up not just in states and at the federal level, but also in local cities as ordinances. And some of them do specifically target many of the same regulations that the Iowa Commission put into place. So a lot of them include a lot of similar characteristics, and so their guidelines basically are in tune with what we're seeing all across the country as well.
Tell us about the Fort Des Moines Church of Christ lawsuit.
Once the church got a hold of these new regulations from the Iowa Commission, they basically worked with some lawyers and sent a letter to them that said, you need to strike down these regulations. These violate our First Amendment rights to free exercise of our religion. And so they spelled out in their letter, you know, a number of these violations, like those we've talked about, saying that the regulations basically imply that pastors are not allowed to preach from their pulpit what their church teaches because it contracts with now currently government-favored dogma coming from the secular progressive state.
You say that this is totalitarian if carried out. Make the case for that, if you would, Joy.
Oh, sure. So totalitarian is, I mean, it's a very strong word, but it is a system of government that includes thought control, that includes extending the right of government to tell you what you have to think. And that's exactly what this is. We have a government going into people's sacred worship spaces, and not just inside their sacred worship spaces, but inside, you know, their minds, their ability to say what they are thinking in public and private. Right, because some things that churches do are only among church members. such as a Bible study, say, or counseling between pastors and church members and so forth. So the government, in making these regulations, is claiming the right to tell you what you can express about what your church believes to people in the privacy, you know, of a counseling situation, of a private Bible study, you know, even of conversation. So I don't know about you, but that seems, that's totalitarian. I mean, it fits with not only the textbook definition, but the way that people feel that, right? When we hear that the government, you know, says to us, if someone feels bad because of something you do, you can be fined, you can lose your business, you know, you can lose your retirement accounts. People start to self-censor, and self-censorship creates a very closed environment in a society rather than the historically open free speech society that Americans have had ever since we started existing.
Is there anything in the Constitution or is law in our nation intended to protect people's feelings?
No. I talk about that in the article as well. So people talk about, we use the language about rights very loosely in our culture, and that has created some problems because there are basically two major ways of thinking about rights. The first is the one that created our country, where it says that rights have to flow from nature. They are tied to objective reality, and they are true for all people at all times. And there's another system of rights that became more popular basically in the late 20th, or in the 20th century, among those who call themselves progressives. And those are kind of a system of positive rights where it says not only, you know, should governments of rights restrain government action, but rights require government action to force you into doing things. So, for example, President Franklin Roosevelt, he told people they had the right to be free from fear. But, you know, the only way to have government ensure that people are free from fear is for government to stop other people from doing anything, you know, that people say makes them sad. In other words, it's a completely subjective definition. It never ends. That's another characteristic of a totalitarian system of government. There is not one limiting principle upon which you can say, no, government cannot do this, you know, because if one person says this makes me fear, then that, it, under that second system of rights, gives the government the ability to go in and start pushing people around. So I argue that those two systems of rights are in conflict with each other, and, I think people are happier and safer and more free under the first one, and Americans need to realize that we need to make a choice between these two systems. We can't have them continue to coexist because, you know, one of them is going to beat out the other.
I'm fascinated. Almost every conversation I've had on this subject, kind of on the totalitarian aims of the sexual revolution, the guest has pointed out what you just pointed out. There is no limiting principle in mm-hmm. the thinking or the reasoning, if you want to call it reasoning, behind mm-hmm. the application of laws like this. And yet if we look at the history of jurisprudence in the United States, it's all about limiting principles. We can't operate without them. Otherwise, it's a runaway train. Talk about that.
Yes, and I actually would even argue that that's kind of an anti-Christian way of thinking about the role of government, because our founders limited government because they believed, as Christians believe, that human nature is flawed, that there's something wrong with people intrinsically, and that, again, that's a core Christian belief. But the progressives adopt the idea that humans are, you know, don't have any natural intrinsic flaws. If there's something wrong in our society, it comes from the structures. It comes from society itself, you know, and imperfect arrangement. So people are not bad under the progressive idea of thinking, you know, the structure is bad. That's why we always have to be overthrowing and remaking and having a constant revolution in our society. So again, this is one of those situations where we have two completely opposite ideas, right? There's A and not A. There is humans, you know, are sinful, and humans are not sinful. They're not evil. And those two cannot coexist. One of them is right and the other is not. And the one of them that says human is sinful says, look, we need to therefore limit human power because, you know, the more power you give them, the more sin they're likely to promulgate. We can't trust people with too much power. The second view endorses an unlimited view of government because it says, look, people are not naturally bad, so they're not naturally going to abuse their power. And again, that leads inexorably to unlimited government that, again, can tyrannize people in minute and mass scales.
What is this latest story about the Iowa Civil Rights Commission? What does it tell you about the strength of the arguments for pro-transgender, the pro-transgender movement?
Well, that's something I also talk about in my argument, because in my article for the Federalist, because it's just confusing to me as a person, you know, who has LGBT family members and friends, neighbors, you know, people that I eat dinner with. You know, these are friends and people that I love. And our relationship doesn't require coercion, right? I can say what I think to them, and they don't get mad at me. We can discuss, you know, these things. But the LGBT activists, on the other hand, are not like the people that I know intimately and love. You know, they demand using the force of government, you know, the police state, to come into my church, to come into my home, my, you know, private interactions with people, and tell me what I'm allowed to say and even think to myself in my own private thoughts. So that kind of makes me think, you know, why are you so defensive? It makes me think that they don't really think they have a stronger argument because, you know, they have to put the force of government behind it rather than trusting that their ideas are so good in and of themselves that they will naturally attract people. So their willingness and demand to use police power to enforce their ideas on everyone else suggests to me that they're admitting that their ideas really aren't good if you hold them up to scrutiny, that most people aren't going to agree with and believe them. So that's why this tiny minority of not even just people, but people within the LGBT designation, you know, feels that they have to seize the levers of power and use them to push everybody else around.
It's ironic, isn't it, Joy? Because they've never had more. They've never gained more than they have in the last 5 years. They are mm-hmm. riding the wave of victory after victory after victory, but they seem more desperate to silence those who disagree.
Well, I think it also, I mean, it has something to do with, if you look at history, the way that people who cling to a failed ideology, you know, when they win, but they don't solve their problems, you know, such as in Stalinist Russia, right? You know, being communist didn't fix things for Russia. It didn't fix things for China. And so because they were not willing to say, you know, partly because mass murder was required to achieve their ends, they psychologically probably couldn't handle saying, holy cow, my idea has caused this and it hasn't brought about the ultimate good that I thought it would. You know, so they doubled down on that idea and it just spirals downhill after that.
Finally, where do you think this is going, this particular story of the Iowa Civil Rights Commission?
Well, it's like everything in American society, it's going into the courts. So the commission has said, oh, you know, we didn't really mean what our regulations say. We need to refine the language, and the folks who are suing them say, well, really, your language here isn't so much the problem as the statute that they come from, because that itself violates the First Amendment, which I venture to guess that most SOGI laws do. So they're going to continue to pursue court action until they, you know, the courts decide whether the First Amendment will be upheld in our country again or not.
Joy Pullman is a research fellow at the Heartland Institute, author of the forthcoming book, The Education Invasion, How Common Core Fights Parents for Control of American Kids, managing editor of The Federalist, and author of a recent column titled Iowa Bureaucrats Force Trans Bathrooms on Churches, Forbid Non-PC Preaching. You can read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Joy, thank you very much.
Thank you.
When we come back on this Friday afternoon, we're going to talk about a new study of children of same-sex parents. It's a little different, not only in its conclusions, but in some other respects as well. D.C. McAllister of The Federalist will be our guest.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Temptation, promiscuity, marriage, homosexuality. These are some of the issues addressed in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July, Sexual Morality in a Christless World. You can read an excerpt at issuesetc.org or find out more by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Learn the truth about sexual morality from a reasoned Christian perspective with the Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Sexual Morality in a Christless World.
Daily exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The Church's Music from the 20th Century. the 17th century. The 11th century. The 8th century. The 4th century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years, LutheranPublicRadio.org.